I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate you. This program is all about educating seniors and their caregivers, helping them make informed decisions. This is a trusted place for you and your family. As always, if you have a question, you can visit us online. That's at Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, SeniorCareLive.com, or you could also call 1-800-331-6445. All right, so we have a great program for you here today. Before I jump into the heart of the program, the meat and the potatoes, if you will, can you tell I'm a Midwesterner? I think that's a Midwest thing. Anyway, so I was just thinking, if we're in California, before we jump into the avocado and the sushi of the matter or something like that. Anyway, so I'm having a little fun here. Maybe a little bit too much fun. Let's get back on track, Steve. Come on. So anyway, just wanted to give our friends over at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, wanted to give them a shout out and just say, you know, what a great job they do for their clients, their families, their patients that they serve. Whether you realize it or not, we are really, really spoiled to have such a fine organization serving our community. They just celebrated the 40th anniversary of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. So obviously, they've been here for a long time. They're deeply rooted in the Kansas City and the region and deeply invested in our community. And they have one of these end of the year type of campaigns, and a lot of folks really enjoy donating to some of these end of the year campaigns, whether that's at your church or at your work, maybe fundraising for families, or here at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. This program, the end of the year donation campaign program, is called Honoring the Golden Hour, and we're looking for, you know, end of year donations. And what does your money get you when you donate to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care? Well, it's going to get you the peace of mind knowing that you are helping a fantastic nonprofit local organization serving other local individuals and families. And the reason that they're able to offer so many other additional add-on type of, you know, value-added type of services is from the generous donations from those in our community. So for example, last week, David and Jesse and I, we were talking about, you know, some of the therapies, expressive therapies that they offer. And this is unusual and it's not required. We talked specifically about music therapy last week. Jesse is a board certified music therapist, and she does a great job. And that's a major extra benefit in working with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, but they also have art therapy and some other therapy programs to really help patients, their families, and then those grieving. So your donations help to provide these type of extras that are not required, and again, Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care goes above and beyond. And the other thing that this gets you is, again, the peace of mind knowing that you're donating to a local organization that just does things right. And so they're able to generate, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year through all of these various campaigns. And here's one of the major benefits. They don't decline anyone for care. And that's very unusual. So if someone does not have the ability to pay, or maybe someone has an insurance policy that will pay for part of the services, but maybe there's a copay of 10 or 20 or 50%, and they just can't afford that, Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care takes care of them, and they'll write off that difference. If someone is maybe indigent and they don't have any resources and any insurance coverage at all, guess what? They take care of them too. And they're able to do that because, first of all, they're great people. It's a great organization. And they're also able to make that happen through the generous donations from those in our community. So I just wanted to give a shout out and say, hello to, again, our friends at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and let you know how to contribute to this end of the year campaign honoring the Golden Hour. And the really, really cool thing about this is if you're able to donate, you know, X dollars, whether it's $5 or $100 or $500, whatever you have would be appreciated. There is a very generous donor who they've offered to match your donation up to a total of $20,000. So if you're able to offer and donate $100, what you're really doing is you can leverage that with this matching offer, and now you've actually caused a $200 donation with your $100. I just think that's fantastic. How do you do this? So you could go to their website, super easy, kchospice.org, kchospice.org, or you could just give them a call and visit with them and get that figured out at 816-363-2600. And again, that end of the year campaign is called Honoring the Golden Hour, and all of the donations matched up to $20,000. So let's help them out and end the year strong. And I know a lot of folks are hurting right now financially. You may not be able to do that. We may be limited on what you're able to do. But if you can, it would be really appreciated. And I promise you, it's going to a great, great place that will be very good shepherds of your money and stewards of your money, and make sure that is used very, very well, and in a way that you would appreciate and be proud of. And then just, you know, in the news, I'm not going to do the whole in the news sounder and everything, but, I was listening to a doctor and it just this past week, and he was reporting, you know, a lot of concerns about COVID-19. I know everyone's sick about hearing it and talking about it, but you know, this one is really stunning. He said that 6% of COVID-19 cases are from nursing homes. So if you just break it all down, 6% of the total cases are in nursing homes. But here's the super alarming rate. And information, 39% of the deaths are coming from nursing homes. So 6% of the overall cases, but 39% of the deaths. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, individuals living in assisted living communities and long-term care communities, they're older, they generally they have some health challenges. Sometimes they may be very ill and have multiple health issues that would leave them, you know, immunocompromised and unable to fight off this terrible virus. So it's just so important that we think about these people. We pray for them. This is why you can't just walk in the building and see your loved one, as painful as that is. Now, you know, most places are doing a pretty good job at offering, you know, window visits and, you know, FaceTime or Zoom visits, you know, virtually. Some places are setting up, you know, outside areas where you can visit in person, but there's a plexiglass plate, you know, kind of between you so you can see each other, you can talk, but you are, you know, further than 6 feet apart and you have your masks on and all those sort of things. So, this, you know, just again, 6% of COVID-19 cases are from individuals living in nursing homes, but 39% of the deaths are from those same individuals in nursing homes. So let's think about them. Let's pray for them. And let's just try to have some understanding of the situation. I know it's so frustrating. It's terribly frustrating, but everyone's doing the best that they can. And I'll tell you, this is just kind of getting out of control. You know, my wife is a registered nurse at a very busy physician's clinic, and just her physician and PA that she works with, you know, they see a lot of patients every week. And this last week, I think they set the record. One day they had, I believe it was 420 phone messages. And guess what the majority of them are about? COVID-19. I have these symptoms. What do you think I should do? Should I come in and get tested? I think I may have had COVID-19 already. Can I get an antibody test? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. So let's pray for the frontline healthcare workers. Let's pray for all of those individuals living in senior care communities. Let's pray for their families. Let's pray for understanding. And together we're getting through this. The vaccine is coming. I think it's going to be wildly successful. I'm so hoping that this will be successful. And again, that population in living in senior care communities, they are first on the list. And then the second on the list would be the frontline healthcare workers. Our hospitals are getting full with patients from, you know, a lot of different needs, as well as COVID-19 patients. So it's getting pretty dicey out there. We all need to do our part. And I know the vast majority of us are. So I just wanted to just talk about that just very, very briefly. And just, I guess, make a public service announcement about that. Let's support them. Let's do all we can. And let's keep them in our thoughts and prayers. Okay. Now the Senior Care Live question of the week. The three primary types of senior care communities are A, independent living, B, assisted living, C, long-term care, or D, all of the above. The answer coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device. Go to seniorcarelive.com. You can also stream that through the app radio.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. The three primary types of senior care communities are A, independent living, B, assisted living, C, long-term care, or D, all of the above. And the answer is D. The answer is D, all of the above. Independent living, assisted living, and long-term care. There's more to it than that, and I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. But I want to just mention just briefly, and this has kind of been on my mind here lately. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, people living in long-term care communities, assisted living communities, memory care communities, independent living communities, etc. But what about the elderly or older individuals living independently in their home? So they're like, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't need a senior care community. I am perfectly independent in my home. You know, I just turned, 82 years old. I feel fine. I don't feel my age, but I'm super worried about this because I'm kind of in that target demographic. You know, you may have diabetic issues or CHF or COPD, some other underlying or additional health issues that would make you particularly at risk for this terrible disease. So you're sitting in your house. You may not just be scared to pieces, but you're very concerned. You haven't been out of your house forever. You're having your groceries and pharmacy delivered, or maybe a nice neighbor, maybe a family member is doing that for you. And you're getting pretty bored at this point. In fact, I've had a lot of people say, Steve, if I don't get out of here, I'm going to go nuts. Well, first of all, there's nothing stopping you from, if you're able, get out and take a little walk, up and down the block, or sit in your backyard. Go for a drive again if you're able to do so. But I'll tell you what, the message here is: do not underestimate the value of socialization. It is so important to all of us, whether we're doing okay, whether we're receiving care in a senior care community, or whether we're living independently at home and we're just trying to avoid, potential exposure, and we're kind of going nuts being stuck in our house. We've got cabin fever. And here we are. If you have cabin fever now, here we are going into the winter time, and it gets dark at 5 o'clock, and all that stuff, and that's going to make it worse. I just do not underestimate the value of socialization. I like to look at this as a three-legged, I almost said five, where did that come from? As a three-legged stool. And one leg is your medication. You got to take your medication on time, period. You're taking your medicine at that point in your life, especially depending, on your diagnosis or diagnoses that you're working with and some of the issues that you're treating. Your medication becomes very critical that you take it properly, you take it on time. Another leg is nutrition. You have to eat right, and part of nutrition, you have to drink right. If you don't drink enough, you're going to get dehydrated, you're going to get a UTI, and you're going to just run off the rails. All kinds of bad things happen if you should get a UTI, and a real common cause of that is just dehydration. It doesn't have to be the peak of summertime. It could be just because you don't drink enough water, and that's really, really, really common. My mom says, I hate drinking water, but if I have a cold water bottle, I'm more apt to get that and just kind of sip along as I'm maybe, catching the news or listening to some music or maybe watching a movie. So you have to be pretty intentional about that. But you have to eat properly, and you have to, drink enough and hydrate well. And then that third leg is socialization. So guess what? Human beings are social creatures. We are sociable people. We're not really designed to be alone. Now, some people already are saying, no, Steve, you don't know me. I'm an introvert. Okay, well, that's fine. But I know introverts that are going nuts right now from lack of socialization. You know what I mean? So this is tough stuff. So, but most people aren't, so introverted that they think this is great. Most people enjoy being around other people, at least a little bit. And a lot of folks who are introverted, the reason that they may not get too stressed out or as stressed out as other people is because they're like, well, I'm introverted. I kind of prefer to hang out and do my own thing. But I know that if I wanted to, I could socialize with people. So I always have that option. So knowing you could actually makes it better. But what if you are an older person and you're stuck in your house and there isn't anyone to talk to? And people can't come over and hang out and visit with you, or you can't, leave the house and go to lunch with, the lunch bunch from church, or the boys group. I meet the boys down at the donut shop or wherever it is for coffee on Friday mornings. Maybe you're not comfortable doing that, and you just can't get out. So what we've done is we've introduced an opportunity for that three-legged stool to fall over. So we're good on our medications, we're good on our nutrition and our hydration, but we just chop the leg off, that third leg off of socialization, and boom, down we go. It's causing all kinds of problems. It's causing depression. It's causing, and this is horrible, it's causing suicidal thoughts or people saying, you know what? If this is all that's left, I don't really want to be here. It's causing Alzheimer's and dementia symptoms to accelerate. It's causing those disease processes to accelerate, and people are dying prematurely of something that they could and should be able to live with for quite some time. Some other things that it's causing is alcohol abuse and substance abuse. I just saw all kinds of reports earlier this week of, you know, liquor sales going through the roof because, you know, people are buying that and they're just sitting around, they're drinking, and it's causing, you know, a lot of problems there. If there is a spouse involved, sometimes that will boil over and come out as, you know, spousal abuse. So domestic violence issues are up. They're way up. Premature deaths, way up. Depression, off the charts. Alcohol abuse and substance abuse, off the charts. So, gosh, I don't want to make everyone depressed, but you know, we cannot underestimate the value of socialization. We have to get it done somehow, some way. Come over, visit with someone and hang out in the garage, hang out outside, get your coats on, visit someone by phone. There's no excuse to not do that. Visit someone with FaceTime or Zoom. It's pretty easy to set up and then help someone do that. Have a window visit at home, right? Do some of these things. But you know, the bottom line is reach out to those people who are kind of holed up in their home, right? We talk a lot about facilities, but hold up in their home. Let's not forget about them either. And let's make sure that they have some social contact so that they can ride this storm out. And hopefully by this spring or summer, we're going to start to come out of the backside of this nightmare that is COVID-19. All right. I'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget to check out our podcasts. We have all of the recently aired episodes of the program, again, right there at seniorcarelive.com. Tons of people. And it's a bunch. I need to check the numbers, but it's a bunch of folks listen to the podcast after the fact. So you can even subscribe to the podcast. And if you ever miss one of the episodes, you know, you don't have to. It's like DVR, but for a radio broadcast like this, literally is what it is. So feel free to sign up for that as well. All right. So we're going to shift gears here. And this will kind of tie into the Senior Care Live question of the week, where I want to talk about and kind of go into a little more depth on the primary levels of care that are available at senior care communities. So let's jump right in. And I'm also going to ask you to use your imagination and kind of paint a little bit of a picture for you here, because we're not on TV yet. When I finally get on TV with all of this stuff, and I think we will, then I'll have a lot of, you know, really nice graphics that I can share with you. Or if you catch one of my presentations out in the general public, which, you know, at some point, I think this spring or summer, we'll be able to start doing those again, then you'll see these graphics as well. But right now, I'll just try to describe them to you. So that entry level, so if you're going to sell your home and move to a senior care community, that entry level is called independent living. And what it is, most of the inventory in our area would be an apartment, a nice apartment. And in most of these places are pretty nice. Some are extravagant, some are a little more basic, but all of these are pretty nice places. And so the idea is that, you know, you you might be missing that socialization, that third leg on that stool, and you need to be around people, and you miss that, and it's causing some depression and some of these other issues. Maybe you're tired of the leaves in the gutter, worrying about that, or the roof leaking, or did my sump pump go on? I'm worried about basement flooding. And all of the just kind of the traditional normal home ownership type of issues. So maybe you don't want to deal with that anymore. You want to sell your home, downsize a little bit, move into a nice independent living apartment. That would be, you would be a good candidate for that. And you move into an independent living apartment and you have your own space. You're on your own, but you're not alone. You're around a lot of other people. They offer at least one or two meals per day, sometimes all three, but you still can cook in your own apartment. There's a fully functioning and fully equipped kitchen in your apartment. And so if you want to do a little cooking, you can certainly do that. And now there is no care offered in independent living. It is an apartment with meals and socialization opportunities, but you're not alone. If you feel, you know, like numbness or tingling down your left arm, which is kind of a classic heart attack type of a symptom, or you have some issues, maybe you fell and you need some help, you can push the button and someone there will check on you. And if you need emergency help or assistance, they will call 911. They'll call your family, and they'll get you some help. So it's not like you're completely alone. And other people there will come in and check on you, make sure you're doing okay. If you maybe you miss a meal, they'll check and say, hey, are you feeling okay? And so, I mean, there's a lot to like about independent living apartments. Okay, so that's on the left side of my graphic. Let's skip over the middle for now. Let's go clear over to the right side of the graphic. And that would be the highest level of care, and that's generally referred to as long-term care. Some people might call it skilled nursing. They might call it the health center. A lot of people, in fact, most people still consider that or call that a nursing home. They understand that it's a lot better today than it was, you know, decades ago when they had, you know, they earned a pretty bad reputation back then. Well, it's the vast majority of places are so much better. They're so much nicer. They're not even close. And so, but that's generally referred to as long-term care. And that's kind of what I like to use, but that is full care. It's a full medical model where they can help you with those daily activities, plus full medical care, diabetic management, an insulin injection, pain management, tube feeding, IV therapy. Someone may need a two-person transfer, meaning it takes two staff or maybe even mechanical equipment to help someone move from point A to point B. There's a lot to it, but that is your highest level of care. Okay, then that third primary level of care, we'll talk about a couple others as well, but that third primary level of care is referred to as assisted living. Now, this is when it becomes a little more difficult to understand and to navigate. So, you know, when you talk about long-term care, also known as a nursing home, that's a very standardized model. So all of the long-term care communities offer about the same thing. They all fall under the same licensure. And so it's a standardized model. Now, obviously, some places do a better job delivering than other places. There's no doubt about that. But they all offer about the same thing as far as what kind of care they can offer. Assisted living is a little bit of the Wild West. So it is not a standardized model at all. But generally speaking, it's a social model. It is not a medical model at all. They're not going to deal with catheters and feeding tubes and IV therapy and some of the heavier duty, you know, medical issues, but they can do a lot for you. Primarily, they're going to help you with those activities of daily living, such as, you know, bathing, dressing, grooming. They can help you, you know, minimally or fully with those sort of things. They can help you use the toilet. They can help with incontinence management to a point, and this is where it starts to get widely varied. Some places won't help you with incontinence care at all. And some places will help you with a pretty high level of incontinence care and everything in between. They will also distribute your medications so they can help you get that medicine on time. Again, that's really, really critical. They can do a lot for you. They do cook all of your meals, provide your snacks and hydration. There's a full slate of activities. There's transportation to and from the doctor. Many doctors and other medical specialists will come in-house to you, making house calls essentially. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about assisted living, but again, it's not standardized. So some places will offer very little care when it comes to helping folks with those activities of daily living. Some places will provide a tremendous amount of care to try to keep you from having to move to a long-term care community. They're going to do backflips. They're going to bend over backwards to try to help you manage your needs right there in the independent living, in the assisted living community. And so you have some places that offer very little help. Some places offer a ton of help and everything in between. That's part of the problem. So, you know, you go out and you talk to five or six assisted living communities, you may hear five or six different explanations of what they can and cannot do. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Now I'm super, super confused. So that's one of the challenges with assisted living, trying to find the right assisted living community, because first of all, like I think I reviewed this just a little bit last week, but you have to figure out what you need, and then you have to go out and find a place that can meet your needs. And again, assisted living is all over the board, so it's going to take you potentially a lot longer to get that figured out. And with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, we help tons of people kind of navigate through that search and selection process, finding the right assisted living community. Now, let's talk about costs. If you're driving your car, you might want to pull over. I don't want to cause anyone to jerk the wheel or anything like that. But hold on to your wallets. This stuff is expensive, all right? And it's worth it, but it is expensive. So independent living, again, an apartment with meals, some transportation available. It's a solid range here in our area, the KC and the extended metro area. You're looking at $2,500, and that would really be on the kind of the lower end, up to about, you know, $4,500. You could definitely spend more than that. A larger apartment could easily cost more than that. But that's, you know, that $2,500 to $4,500 a month, that's right down the middle. So that's what that costs. And then if you look at that assisted living level of care, most assisted living communities have a base price plus a level of care charge, so that if you need less help, you're paying less than someone who needs a lot of help. Now, some places also have a flat fee, an all-inclusive fee. Some places have a base plus an a la carte type of a pricing model. But the bottom line is you can look at spending about $5,000 upwards to, you know, maybe about $8,000 per month for the assisted living level of care. And then when you move to long-term care, it's mostly about the care and it's not too much about your personal space. That would be the most restrictive level of care. And a shared room or a semi-private room, you know, you're looking at, you know, around $7,000 to maybe $7,500 per month. That's very common. And then a private room in long-term care, you definitely pay a premium for that space, and you're looking at an average of about $8,500 to upwards of about $14,000 per month. And so it's very, very expensive. After a few announcements here on our break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about two other levels of care, their prices, and then I want to get into memory care because that's super confusing for a lot of folks. I'll sum that up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. All right, so back to our review of the primary types of senior care communities. We talked about independent living, assisted living, long-term care. We defined what they are, what they provide. I talked about, you know, assisted living, it's not a standardized model. It's all over the board. Some places offer very little support. Some places offer a tremendous amount of support and everything in between. We talked about the prices. I hope I didn't cause too much heartburn with all of that. And so let's move on to a couple of other levels of care that that I think are really, really good for the right person. And they're great. As with all of these, it just needs to be the right fit for your needs. So I would say on the kind of the lower side, generally speaking, there are a few exemptions from this, but generally speaking, I would just refer to a residential care facility as assisted living light. So the majority of them have a little less staffing. Generally speaking, the residents living in a residential care facility, RCF, is kind of the acronym for that. Generally, the residents are a little more independent. They need a little less help. And the price is kind of reflected on that. So I would say on the low end, you know, around $3,000 a month to maybe up to $6,000. That's probably a solid range for our area here. I would say we have quite a few more RCFs on the Missouri side of the state line than the Kansas side, but both states do have that. And when I talk about level of care, remember, I always tie that to the licensure type. And your licensure type does dictate what you can and cannot do. And so that's how I define that level of care. The other one, I would call it assisted living plus, kind of on the high side of assisted living, and maybe even kind of venturing into that long-term care area a little bit. And I love this level of care. It's called Home Plus. And essentially, it is a residential house, and it's either a house that's been converted and kind of renovated to accommodate 6 or 8 residents, maybe up to around 12 residents. It could be a brand new build, and there are several Home Plus communities starting to be built from scratch. And so these places are really nice. I mean, they're beautiful, and you have your own apartment, or excuse me, not your own apartment, your own bedroom. Because this is literally a house, so you have your own bedroom, and a lot of the bedrooms have their own bathroom, or maybe there's a bathroom on the hallway. Maybe, you know, a couple of residents may share a bathroom and a shower space, etc. I think most of the new ones, they have a full bath. It's kind of a suite. It's a bedroom and a full bath together. And then, of course, you have, you know, the common space. You have a living room and the kitchen area, and they usually have pretty nice outdoor areas and decks and everything else. So you talk about having a home-like environment, they've got that down. And then the staffing is usually the highest that you'll ever see, generally speaking, in a Home Plus environment. So on the price of this, you're looking at somewhere around, you know, $6,500 to maybe upwards of, you know, maybe about $8,500. That's going to cover the vast majority of Home Plus communities in our area. And then there are a couple of gray areas, and I really want to kind of talk about this because this is very bothersome. And trust me, I know about this because I get the phone calls with Senior Care Consulting. So there's one gray area. And again, if you could see my graphic, just on the far left side of assisted living or just to the right side of independent living, I've got a gray bar here. And that is one very intentional gray area. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, where someone said, well, you know, we went out and we're looking for, placement, and we checked out some assisted living places, and we looked at these independent living apartments, and wow, these places are really nice. And they said, there's no reason that we should consider assisted living because they can do everything that assisted living can. And I'm like, timeout. If you could see me, I've got my tee up here for timeout. That is simply not true, period. I don't care what you say. That is not true. Independent living, an independent living community is not licensed. Guess why? Because they don't provide hands-on care. They don't. They're not licensed to do so. An assisted living community has a license. There is licensure, and that dictates what type of care and how much care that they can provide. And they do provide care, hands-on care at the assisted living level of care. So these are two very different things. But the reason that you may hear that from some independent living communities is because some, and not all, but a number of independent living communities will have additional home care services available to on an hourly basis, or maybe a per visit basis, or maybe a 15-minute increment basis for residents living in independent living. So it's an additional service. It's an additional fee, and there will be an embedded home care company or provider on site. And they usually take one of the independent living apartments and just turn that into an office. And that way the staff can, you know, walk down the hall and help someone maybe get up in the morning and get dressed, 15 minutes, maybe help someone with the shower, maybe 30 minutes, maybe help someone with their medication reminders, 15 minutes. Do some extra housekeeping and maybe run some errands and that sort of thing, maybe an hour or two. So the reason that some of these folks are saying, oh, you don't need assisted living, is because they offer this additional service of home care. But you have to understand, independent living is independent living, and home care is home care. These are two separate things, even though you may have the convenience of having home care services on a small incremental level per visit basis provided right there on the site. And I'll tell you what, that's a really good fit for some people. I have helped some of my clients through Senior Care Consulting find an independent living community that did have, very intentionally looked at ones that had this extra care, because he needed a little bit of help in independent living. He couldn't do it on his own, and he was nowhere near needing assisted living. So that's a great area. The other one is, if you saw the slide, it's to the far right-hand side of the assisted living area, where there's a gray area there butting up next to the long-term care line. And that's when you'll hear from, and I hear from lots of families, well, we moved dad into this assisted living community, and they said that they're an age-in-place community, and they can take care of my dad's needs for life. And then 6 months later, they're asking us to move him because they say they can no longer meet his needs. Did they lie to me? And I said, well, I don't know. Leave me out of that. I wasn't there. I didn't hear what was said. But what happens is, a lot of times you'll have some pretty aggressive salespeople over-promise and under-deliver. And they want to have your loved one live there for their lifetime. But the fact is, their licensure says they can only provide a certain level of care. And once you exceed that, it would force them to have to move your loved one to a long-term care community. So you have to be really, really careful. And again, if you have questions about this, you can always reach out to me at Senior Care Consulting, and I'd be happy to help you walk through that. And if you need help with placement, we can obviously help you with that as well. We won't let you make a mistake. All right. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.